Good afternoon. This is the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission for January 8th, 2018. And I would like to begin by asking the Bureau of Development Services staff to introduce themselves.
I am Tim Herron, doing my best to be Hillary Adam today.
Welcome.
Thank you.
The members of the commission here today are?
Annie Mahoney.
Kirk Ranzetta.
Kristen Miner.
Matthew Roman.
Wendy Chung.
Commission members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of requests for landmark designation and coordinate other historic preservation programs. We are not paid, but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commission can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record and is subject to rebuttal. So prior to getting to the National Register Reclassification Review, as well as our first case of the year, we have a couple of items of interest to the commission, the first being the election of officers and then the bylaws. So I guess this is where we kind of canvass around the room and see if anyone would like to make a motion for chair or vice chair. I think it's kind of an open opportunity. So.
In the interest of time, if our current chair and vice chair are willing to continue to serve, I would make that motion.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Then I guess we can just call the roll as long as Kristen is. Are you?
Well, let me make a formal motion. I move that we elect Kurt Ranzetta as chair and Kristen Miner as vice chair for the 2018 Historic Landmarks Commission.
I second that.
Commissioner Mahoney?
Yes.
Commissioner Miner?
Aye.
Commissioner Foti? Yes. Commissioner Roman?
Yes.
Commissioner Chung?
Yes.
Chair Ranzetta?
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you. That's right. I appreciate it. I think for a moment of clarification too, is that my term, I believe, is up prior to the end of the year. So we'll probably have another vote sometime prior to the end of 2018. It's been a pleasure serving as the chair and working with each and every one of you over the past couple of years has been very rewarding experience. So thank you. Okay,
good afternoon. Stacy Monroe with Design Group, or Historic and Design Group. Two things to cover with you today. The first thing is the deliberation and voting cards. They've just been replaced with the ones for this commission. And just to have you recall our last discussion on this, staff has tailored these to the Landmarks Commission by changing on the deliberation side, under the third item under discussion, in terms of organizing feedback for the applicant, we have changed the context word to compatibility, which is more appropriate for the approval criteria that this commission uses to evaluate proposals. So as you will see, it says the chair summarizes commission and staff concerns and initiates discussion of each by tenet, which those tenets are revised for this commission to be compatibility, public realm, and quality and permanence. So that's the only change since the last time you saw a draft version of this. These will be handed out at the beginning of each meeting and put in front of your computers, and they can be used. The chair is pretty familiar with the process, but in case someone is acting chair or vice chair during a hearing, you'll all have access to how the process occurs in terms of deliberation and voting. So if you have any questions, okay, We'll move on to the bylaws.
I have a question, Stacy.
Sure.
And on the backside of that document, it talks about stating our voting and stating our reasons for the vote. Do we do that? I feel like we don't do that.
So there has been some discussion on the Design Commission to do that, and they have been doing that, not consistently, but when they feel that it's valuable. Mm-hmm. The council does that with every action that they take before they say their vote, after they kind of summarize their position. It's not critical, but we wanted to remind the commission they do have the opportunity to elaborate on the reasons for their vote.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure. So the next item are the bylaws, and I sent them to you digitally on Thursday. I have hard copies in case someone needs them. Does anyone need copies? No? Okay. So, again, I brought you a draft probably in the beginning of December of last year. And what these are a combination of the language in the code, which you will see in this document in italics. It's pulling straight from the code. There's no changes. It's just as it reads in the zoning code. And then staff has elaborated on a few process and meeting requirements that come from state law and Robert's rules, and those are in non-italics. So we've just taken all of this information that we've always used and had access to, combined them into a single document. So that's really what this document is. I don't know if you've had a chance to review it, but if you have any comments, now's the time. We anticipate bringing it back on the January 22nd hearing. Is that the next hearing, Tim? For adoption. So if we have any edits, revisions, or questions, now's the time to do it. Or if you have any other ones, we could always do it outside this meeting, but it'd be nice to use this opportunity.
Stacy, I have a couple comments on this. Pretty minor, but my first one would, I think, be an addition on page 2. I mean, as you said, this is all taken from code, you know, land use reviews, but then I wonder if it might be useful to also add recommendations and just state the circumstances under which this body makes recommendations, you know, like for a type 4.
So you're referring to powers and duties on page 1 that continues onto page 2, Kristen?
Right, right.
So
I think she's talking about item 6 specifically, and I think on page 1. And I think it would be helpful to clarify that we're not the deciding body in those matters and that we are merely a recommending body.
C6?
I'm not sure I...
It does state here when you are a recommending body and when you are not. Is there mm-hmm. something that's not captured here specifically?
Well, I wasn't seeing recommending, you know, under C, powers and duties. Am I missing that?
So under 8, just as an example, initiating, coordinating historic preservation and public outreach programs to the city, including reviewing recommendations for National Register status and making recommendations to other governmental agencies regarding historic
research
programs.
Oh, I see. So
that's
kind of captured in...
Providing advice, which is similar to recommendations, I guess, on historic preservation matters, and it identifies the different agencies and review bodies under 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's kind of captured. Okay. That's fine then. And then my other comment was just a very minor one. Also, on page 6, under F1.
I was just going to highlight that for you, because it ties back to when you make a recommendation.
Let's see. There's a sentence that reads, for legislative projects and non-case projects, such as State Historic Preservation Office National Register nominations, I guess I would just strike State Historic Preservation Office because, you know, they're not really the owners of that. I mean, they kind of shepherd it through, but it's really approved by the SACHP as a body, and so I'm not sure a reference to SHPO there is necessary.
Sure. It's general in under powers and duties under C8, and I just think keeping that same general language mm-hmm. here is totally fine. We just wanted to give an example of when right. that does occur. So
right.
the language would be to say in non-case projects and then strike such as...
Or it could be such as National Register nominations. Perfect. It doesn't really have to say SHPO there.
Okay.
And probably shouldn't.
Okay. That's easy enough.
Yep.
In the same light, I was wondering, should we have a more specific reference to Section 106 cases, provided they don't, there's not a concurrent city-related project that would be come before this board? I mean, I suppose we can keep it general the way it is, that they're thereby allowing us the flexibility to provide those recommendations as needed, or...
Yeah, I mean, that was an example of kind of the things that I was thinking of for recommendations. But under C8, where it says, you know, recommendations to other governmental agencies, I guess
it captures
it's
it.
Kind of captured.
Well, why don't we make it express in your example in F1 in the such as proviso?
Make that the example?
Well, maybe add it as an example. So National Register nominations and 106 reviews or 106
yep.
projects in, you know, implicating or triggering 106 reviews on Section 106 under the federal code. Because I do think we've had a couple of those this year, and there was some question as to whether or not we were kind of outside of our lane in terms of giving input, and I think that it would be good to expressly call that out.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, can make that change. Is that it?
That's all for me.
I just have a couple.
Oh, sure.
Just questions more than anything. So under the subcommittees or special subcommittees, that 3-member quorum requirement, I mean, all subcommittees have to have 3 members, and at 4, where it's a commission meeting, basically. Is that my understanding there? Okay.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the voting procedure, and I know we do this, but in between the initial motion and a second is often another round of discussion or friendly amendments. And I just want to make sure that we're not going to abandon that. And then in just in terms of the, rules of order, generally, like nonprofit boards or, in the Senate, for that matter, the president doesn't vote unless it's a tie and also doesn't necessarily make motions. And is that, Robert's rules of order, is that the understanding of our procedural? I've never heard you make a motion.
Right.
I don't know if that's just your instinct.
He definitely votes, though.
Yes, yeah.
And I think we need him to vote, because otherwise...
Well, he votes in a tie, technically,
But I think he votes even when
okay.
there isn't
All right.
a tie.
Well,
the question
when
is,
Robert's
do we want
Rules to? Of Order was mentioned, and I look at the Robert's Rules mm-hmm. of Order, and generally,
yeah, you're right.
He would not vote.
Right,
so.
You're absolutely
okay.
right. So the question is whether or not we should comport with Robert's rules or the rules that we've, I guess, been in.
Well, we
formally
modified
following.
Them some way. Yeah. So anyway, we don't need to answer all this right now. I just want to think about it as we adopt.
Yeah.
It's bylaws.
It's so. A good question. If you could
Speaking
take a look
the attorney?
At. Yeah.
Sure.
I think that's.
And just to be clear, the question is, does the chair have to vote?
Or may the chair vote even in the absence of a tie? And may the
and
chair
may
bring
make a motion.
Motions? Yeah.
I mean, traditionally, you also would control the agenda and would gavel anybody that you didn't like. Anyway, I know we're not operating under those.
Yeah. As you can see, I don't
Where
have a gavel.
Gavel?
So. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just want to ask the question. And then also, in terms of adoption, are you going to post a fine? Like, are we nonprofit organizations are required to post it for, I think, 2 meetings of their boards. So do you post this? What authority, I guess? We're not a corporation. This is under, I guess, some ORS. know, for government, but
right.
In terms of how we're presenting this to the public, you know, does the public get an opportunity, or does anyone else get an opportunity to weigh in on this, or?
No.
In nonprofits, they wouldn't either, but you would at least publish your minutes for two meetings so that all the members of the board have plenty of time to weigh in. Would you consider this the kind of the initial, and we're going to get a vote at the next meeting when we see this?
So the idea is we'd get a vote at the next meeting. We would, once it's adopted, we would upload it to your webpage, and it would be available and accessible to the public. And as amendments are made over the course of the next several years or whenever, we would put amended versions up there, and that's where it would live.
Perfect.
And I would just add that it's different with a nonprofit corporation, because those are governed by the incorporation documents for that for
right.
that body. Here we are created by virtue of ordinance under the City of Portland's code.
Okay.
And we've all been appointed by and sworn in by the mayor. And so we are, it's a slightly different situation. It's more akin to what you were saying earlier regarding the Senate and a government body than it would be a private nonprofit.
So the attorney, and again, not to belabor this, but the attorneys have obviously gone over this.
Oh, yes, we've worked very closely with our city attorney's office.
We didn't develop this document, but we're going to make a motion. One of us has to make a motion to adopt it in a second. So I think it's a great thing to have. So I appreciate you putting the time into it. Anyway, that's all I have.
Commissioner Roman, thank you for your questions. I was going to double down on that. We have talked with the city attorney several times about this, and then relative to a lot of what this document comprehends, and one of the reasons why we put it together, is a lot of it's not new. It's just cobbled together across three different sources, across the interplanetary web pages and code, and what we were finding was, why can't we put it all in one spot? And so a lot of what you see here, even some of the italicized font that's in this, is verbatim from the city code. And so that's where I think that's why we hope that this is pretty much a slam dunk, hopefully one-stop shopping for a customer of the process, where I kind of get it all versus having to go to a couple different web pages and a code that's this thick and our sections this big. So,
I think it's fantastic. So if I don't want to give you any impression that I'm not 100% behind the effort, these are very significant documents when boards adopt them, and I just want to make sure we're giving it the attention that it needs. So, and I think it sounds like you guys have. I've read through it, and most of my questions were procedural, but not, you know, nothing of substance that sort of made me worry. So, thank you.
So, you did mention something that I hadn't thought about before, which is that, of course, if part of this contains code language and code is updated, then does that mean that every time code gets updated, this would sort of automatically update?
Correct.
That's the plan.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
It's another source to manage, but we felt like it was worth it because it is so hard to connect all the dots of our voluntary bodies, and having it in one spot. It frankly was really helpful for us to kind of read it throughout, because we're usually hopping between a couple different locations, whether it's city ordinance or whether it's in the zoning code, and you're correct, one of the reasons why we did italicize it is that it is an easier thing to track through.
Right. Okay. Great.
I'll just say that I think it's really useful for the layperson to look at this on the website, because the code is a little
daunting,
difficult to track, and so I think it's a great summary of what our obligations and duties are. Thank you for putting it together.
So unless there's no other comments, I will go ahead and follow up on the question about the chair voting in the absence of a tie. And I will look at you guys an email about that response. And then we will move forward with a final set on the 22nd. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
And just one point of clarification, too. I didn't read the document close enough. But I was wondering if we had something formal in there about when legislation comes up and the appropriate, I guess, avenue for this commission to provide comments to city council in regards to proposed legislation at the state level. And I just wanted to make sure that we avoid any confusion in that regard, because that's been a point before that we've been reminded that we needed to go through that.
Proper channels?
Correct.
Yeah, I was looking for that too, Kirk, in this document, and the closest I found was C8, again, the section that we've been previously speaking about.
Right.
And it does seem to suggest that we would make recommendations regarding historic preservation programs. I don't know if we might, you know, be served to add or legislation or rulemaking affecting such programs or something to that effect, so right. that we have a broader mandate.
Right, because we already have direction from City Council that right. we have that, you know, what the avenue is.
Right.
So this would just be formalizing, I guess, that in our bylaws so that there's no confusion. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
So really quick, because Section C is code and we don't have the ability to add any actions to your powers and duties, we made an attempt to do that under F1.
Okay.
Oh.
So we said for recommendations, those include Type 4, quasi-judicial, legislative projects, and non-case
Great.
Projects. We were hoping non-case and legislative would kind of capture all of those little loose ends.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Great.
That was the area that we could make that change.
Okay.
And there was also something I wanted to highlight. I think it's under G, communications and coordination. We added some language under... under 4, general communications. So when any information or testimony is forwarded to the council or any of the review bodies, that staff is CC'd on it so we can track all of that communication and we're up to speed on what's going out.
Okay.
So that was a recent change that we also made. I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you very much for pulling all this together. I know on behalf of the commission, our bylaws have been needing to be updated I don't know if they've ever been updated, so.
this is your first set.
is always good.
Yeah. All right, so I'll be back on the 22nd and I'll follow up an email.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, the next item on the agenda is a National Register reclassification.